Hey there, I'm Lee Rowley, and this is Lee After Dark. Why? Because there's more to being a business leader than just business. Each episode, one brave entrepreneur ejects the elevator pitch and just gets real. Today, I'd like to welcome Sherry Altergott. Sherry, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today. Now, the rules are simple. For the next 20 minutes, we can talk about anything you want, except your business. Afterward, you'll have up to 5 minutes to pitch up a storm. But each time you slip up and mention your business during the interview, you'll lose 1 minute of pitch time at the end. So, you know, because there's a demerit or something, if you will. But I'm kind of loosey-goosey with the rules, so don't worry too much about it. Ready? Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start the timer here. And you mentioned that you spent a considerable amount of time following a musician around. And so I thought maybe that would be a good entry point into your world. And so can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I want to thank you for having me today. I love the concept of this podcast. I think we do get wrapped up too much in work, and I think getting that break from it is awesome.
Thank you.
And that's why I chose the topic we had talked about is really I've followed the Dave Matthews Band for the last 20 years or so. And for me, it's exactly what you're doing with your podcast. It's that moment to get away from everything else. I will first of all put a disclaimer on this that I am not an expert in Dave Matthews, nor am I a musician. So anybody listening, just know that with that sense that I'm not here to give a history of Dave Matthews, but really just to share my experience and why I've enjoyed following them.
We will not be posting footnotes and erratum at the end of this episode.
Okay, good. Good, because there are some fans that, you know, might have some challenges with some of the things I might say. So I started, the first Dave Matthews concert I went to, I was actually 18 years old. I had always liked live music. It was 1998, so I'll let your viewers do the math on how old I am today. But I had loved, at that time, I was actually really into gangster rap and had gone to a lot more rap concerts than alternative concerts.
Wow, okay.
I know. I had a friend of mine had called me up. I was at work, and she had a friend that they were supposed to go to a Dave Matthews show, and her friend got sick and couldn't go. So she called me up. She asked if I would like to go. I knew at that time, I mean, they had songs like Crash and Stay and some other hits on the radio.
Sure.
You know, every college dorm room, I think, had a Dave Matthews poster in it somewhere, and everybody had hacky sacks at the time. So I said, sure, it's a free ticket. I would love to go see live music. It was here locally. I'm in Chicago. So I went. And I was blown away when I went. And I didn't know most of the songs. I knew the hit songs, but I didn't really know their catalog of music. But it was being in that environment and how happy everybody was and how excited everybody was to be there. You really felt this sense of community. And really after that first show, I was hooked. After that was a winter show in December. They play one of their big shows they play in the Chicago area is actually up in Wisconsin, a place called Alpine Valley. So that next summer, that same friend and her brothers were going up to Alpine Valley. So I went there for the first time. I didn't know at the time, I had only been to Alpine Valley, I think once before then, that Alpine Valley really is one of the most spectacular places to see an outdoor concert. And that added a whole nother level of excitement for me with Dave Matthews. So when I tell people and they find out that I'm a Dave Matthews fan, I get one of three responses. I either get, yay, that's awesome, I love him too. Or I get, oh yeah, he's okay, I've been to, you know, maybe a show in college. Or I get the, Dave Matthews is awful and I hate him and he's terrible and how can you listen to him? I'm always surprised with the last response, not because I expect everybody to like the same type of music. I think that's what makes us a great society is that we all like different things. Mm-hmm. But the fact that people are so negative against somebody else's place of joy, you know, in my opinion, there's a lot of things that I'm not into, but as long as it doesn't hurt yourself or somebody else, I think you should always welcome whatever gives anybody else joy. Absolutely. And for me, Dave has done that. I remember when my daughter was about 2 or 3, that's when they're really into bubbles. And we were playing with bubbles. And I remember looking at her thinking, I wish that adults had the something that brought them as much joy as bubbles bring a child. When you watch a child play with bubbles, there's nothing else going on in their head other than the excitement of seeing that bubble. And I thought at the time, and that's what really Dave Matthews does for me. And it's not just the music, it's really the community and the event. So when we do a Dave show, I go to usually 3 or 4 shows a year, and we call it Dave Day, because it isn't just going to a concert. I've been to hundreds of concerts in my lifetime. I love listening to live music. But a lot of times when you go to a show, you might go to dinner beforehand, and you go to the show, and you have a good time at the show, and then you go home. Dave is an event. It is Dave Day. There's a myriad of events associated with that, from really starting with day drinking probably about 9 a.m. throughout the day. I have a group of people, and specifically one person, that we go to all of the shows together, but I have another group of people that we go to shows together as well. And I have met so many people at shows. I would say by nature, I am a natural introvert. I am not the person that's going to walk up to random strangers and start up a conversation unless I'm at a Dave show. When you're at a Dave show, you can talk to anybody because you know you have that common bond. Now, sometimes I get in way over my head because I'll strike up a conversation with what I would call an uber Dave fan, and I can't compete with that. I don't know what song he played at the last concert. A few years ago, kind of the mecca for Dave fans is the Gorge outside of Seattle. Beautiful, beautiful outdoor venue. He plays every Labor Day weekend, and it's a trek coming from Chicago. And so I'd gone to the Gorge for the first time. Beautiful experience. We had a great time. And we ended up sitting next to this group of guys that happened to be from my hometown. And we started talking to them, and they would know what song Dave was going to play based on the guitar he picked up. You know, based on, I mean, it was insane. I couldn't even come close to that level of understanding, but I was appreciative because it kind of gave me the forewarning of this is going to be the next song. So Dave Days are always an event, and it's an event about community. It's an event about people. I would say it's one of the few places in this world that I have been to, at least, where social status doesn't matter, money doesn't matter. Everybody kind of, I don't want to say they look the same, but you can't tell whether somebody is a millionaire or a broke college student, because everybody is just there to have a good time, and everybody is so welcoming. For the last 3 years, Dave has done a 3-day show in Riviera Maya, Mexico. It's 3 days on the beach, an all-inclusive resort. Incredible, incredible experience. But you have to be all in. You have to buy the 3 days and you're there. And it was, I've gone the last 3 years. It was amazing just to meet people. I met a ton of people that just came by themselves. And everybody was so welcoming to them. There's a Facebook group of part of the Mexico people that go. And the day before we left last year, there was a woman that posted on the site that her flight got canceled. She had to reschedule it. It was going to cost $100. And she didn't have $100, but she needed to get to Mexico. So this woman who I've never met, I don't know. All I know is that she's going to Mexico for Dave. I PayPal'd her $100 so she could change her flight. And I never thought the difference because I know that she would pay me back. And I know how much that experience would have meant to her.
Wow, and you wouldn't want her to miss that. Right. That's right. Absolutely amazing. Right. So you talk a lot in there, and I'm seeing now that, because I mean, I've had it in my head before, you know, why would somebody go follow a band around. I can think of one band that I've seen more than once, you know. And so I have always wondered that. So it's interesting. And it is about the community. And I went, oh, okay, duh. So stemming from that, what do you think the qualities of a leader, a creative person, you know, wherever, to be able to create that kind of community, where do you see those common threads? Because there aren't really that many people in any industry, be it art, music, you know, online, you know, video, you know, there can only be so many people who can create that sort of buzz in that mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah, I think when you look at bands that have that type of following, whether it was the Grateful Dead or Phish, I think it stems from a place of humility, meaning that those bands, including Dave Matthews, he, I think himself, now I will say I don't know him personally, but I think that him and the examples led by some of the other tour bands like that, it comes from a place of humility that they make the show not about them, not about the band, but about the people. And they are fan-centric. And they do have a good sense of social responsibility, which I think is really important. For me to, and believe me, I'm a fan of a lot of bands that don't have any social wherewithal or you know, you
sure,
just listen.
Sure.
But I think Dave creates more of an emotional connection because of what he does really for the world, in a sense, his sense of charity and giving back. And when you go to a Dave show, he's not standing up there talking about himself. You know, he's not a showboat. There aren't theatrics. There's no smoke machine. You know, it's him and his band with their instruments. And I think that sense of humility makes everybody feel that they're part of a community and that they're not just there watching somebody else.
Awesome. And that's definitely something that would be a compelling reason to spend 20 years, you know, going to these experiences, you know, and developing as community. So outside of shows, the people that you meet, do you stay connected?
We do. I think, you know, with the advent of social media, it certainly makes things a lot easier. Most of the people I've met are from different parts of the world or different parts of the country.
Okay.
But again, we share that common bond. And so we do keep in touch mostly through Facebook and Instagram. And that relationship transcends Dave. That's how it started, was that common bond. Mm-hmm. But as you get to know individuals, you learn so much more just about the world, about society, and about where they're from. I'll say my best friend, who's been the person I went to my first Dave show with, is still my best friend today. And we go to all of our concerts together. We do have a rule that we cannot marry or date anybody that's also a Dave fan, because it will affect our kind of girls' trips that we do. So we've committed to that. My husband is not a Dave fan. But we'll say is, I have a lot of friends that aren't Dave fans, but a lot of those friends come with us when we go to places like Alpine Valley, and they don't go to the concert. They tailgate all day, and when we're in the show, they just sit outside and chill with a bunch of other people who didn't go to the show. So that's what I mean by he transcends just the music. It's people that aren't even into Dave Matthews love the party, though. They love the party that exists before every show.
Okay. I totally get that. You know, I can say personally, as far as the music, I'm kind of in that take it or leave it category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was, you know, my college days were in the earlier part of the 90s. So I do remember that, but you know, it's like right when the, you know, the big ones were first coming out. But you know, the fascinating part is that sense of community, even for those who aren't, you know, actively fans. You know, and I've heard the same thing about, you know, the Grateful Dead as well. I mean, you know, it's, you know, as far as their music, okay. But the culture around it is what's so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would say the only group of people I did have the I did see Dead and Company with John Mayer a few years ago, and it was the first Dead show I had ever been to. And I had followed them musically, but I hadn't been to a show. Jerry Garcia, I actually had tickets to see Jerry Garcia's last show in Chicago. I was only 16, and my mother would not let me go, which now being a mom, I see why. So it was my first time seeing him, and that audience is very similar to what I would say a Dave audience. I will say there was a lot more drug paraphernalia maybe there than I've seen at Dave shows. But everybody is so into not only the music, but the environment. You know, everybody, again, one of the most friendly audiences I've ever been to. You can stand in line and go to the bathroom and make a best friend. I mean, it's really remarkable, that sense of community that people feel when they're really emotionally invested in a band.
That's really cool. Is there, any particular show that sticks out to you that you can remember, like, okay, this is, if I ever get to see Dave Matthews again, you know, this was the show.
I would say they're all different, and that's okay. One of the best things about seeing Dave. Even going 3 years to see three shows in a row in Mexico, never once does he repeat a song. And I think being a Dave fan, I've seen other bands that you go into the show and you know that, okay, these are their top five hits. They better play every single one of them. If you're a Dave fan, and if they don't play them, you're disappointed when you leave. You know, being a Dave fan, number one, you know not to expect any song, and that he has such a wide variety of songs that you'll hear songs you like, you know, but you're not disappointed when you leave because you don't expect to hear a certain song as you do for other bands. So every concert's different, even when he plays them back to back to back. And every experience is different. I think Mexico is a very unique experience to watch a band on the beach with no shoes and a group of people at an all-inclusive resort, so you don't even have to go buy beer.
Nice.
I would say going to a place like the Gorge, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen a show, certainly a monumental experience. But I'll say my most memorable show was at Deer Creek. It's an outdoor venue in Indiana. So I had never been to Deer Creek before. Has a big day following there. It's about 4 hours from Chicago. We had a group of about 20 people, and we were going to camp. Now, mind you, you know, we were all very young in our careers and certainly didn't have a lot of money. So we kind of caravaned up to Deer Creek. We had found a campsite that we paid a ridiculous amount of money for to find out that it was really somebody's backyard and that the shower meant that there was a hose we could use for free. And out of 20 of us, only about 8 of us were actually going to the show. But again, it was more about people just wanting to have the experience.
Sure.
And you could walk to the show from the campground. So we set up camp, we're ready to go. It was a Friday night, it starts pouring rain. It did not stop raining the entire weekend. At one point, we had a news crew actually come to the campsite, and the weather had started to pick up and get really bad. But by that time, we said, you know what, it's raining, we're camping, you know, what do? You just drink more to not feel wet. And so we had a news crew come to the campsite, and they said, how do you guys feel about the tornado warning? And we said, we were unaware of a tornado warning, but thank you for informing us. And we'll keep, I mean, this was before even smartphones, if you can believe that. So we kind of went through and you just kind of succumb to the elements. And we say, you know, we're just going to be wet and all of our stuff is just going to be wet, but we're here to have a good time. So we're not going to let it ruin it. We actually went into the show. They did not cancel it. Now the show was also muddy and rainy. I never had to refill my beer because it was raining so hard that the rain actually kept refilling it.
Oh, no.
Yes. We got terribly muddy, and we had a tremendously fantastic time. We came back. The rain had finally stopped. We came back to the campsite to join our other friends that were waiting for us. Had a great night. Woke up in the morning not feeling probably my best. I've now been wet for 2 days and been drinking really from dawn to dusk. So all you want to do at that point is get home. I don't think I had showered. We get into my car, and my now husband, who's not a day fan, was very much ready to go home. Our car got stuck in the mud because it had been raining for 3 days. As he tried to push the car out of the mud, all of a sudden I see him disappear. And I get out of the car and I look back, and he had fallen into the mud. Well, he started complaining that he thinks he hurt himself. So I get him back in the car. We start on our 4-hour drive back home. He's in a tremendous amount of pain, went right to the emergency room, covered in mud, not showered for 3 days. Completely hungover, and it turns out he broke his knee trying to push the car out of the mud. So although a terrible ending to a fantastic weekend, we talk about that weekend all the time, that it's just, sometimes you just have to give yourself up to the event. You know, it's, you can't control the weather, you can't control a lot of other things in life. But you can control your attitude, and we all had a great attitude about it, and we had a ton of fun, and we still talk about that 15 years later. It was, I think, one of the best memories that I have from a day show.
Definitely very memorable. Well, thank you very much for sharing this with us. And it's been fantastic learning about what you've been doing. And like you say, just as importantly, the why. You know, again, I just find that so fascinating. And I know there are people listening as well, just to get inside people's lives and understand what compels them to be so passionate about what they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Really super cool. And I do have to tell you that you have officially succeeded at the Lee After Dark 20 Minute Challenge. So,
wow.
Yay, and invisible confetti and all that. So, because I'm a man of my word, I want to give you 5 minutes if you want to talk about, you know, your business, what you do, if you have an offer, tell people how to get a hold of you. Floor is yours.
Well, thank you. Sure. And this was super fun. I haven't got to talk to anybody about Dave Matthews since the last Dave Matthews show I went to. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as you mentioned, my name is Sherry Altergott. I'm the Chief Experience Officer for a company called the CX Edge. The CX Edge is a customer experience consulting company. So I've spent the last 18 years working in the material handling industry, focusing on customer experience. My background was in sales, marketing, and business development. And I think as marketers, our number one job is to make messages easily digestible for everybody to understand. When you talk about marketing to people that aren't familiar with marketing, they think that marketing is advertising and creating a brochure or making a post on social media or doing a golf event. Marketing is a strategic element of business that I believe deserves a seat at the table. In the business-to-business world, that hasn't necessarily been the case for marketing. So I started talking about marketing in respect to the customer experience, because I think that's really what it is. My argument has always been, marketing's always been about the customer experience, we just never called it that, right? So in talking about the customer experience, I developed really kind of a 4-part series to what the customer experience means. That's people, product, process, and feedback. If you have those 4 things and focus strategies on those 4 things, you can have a successful customer experience. So I decided to leave my company after being vice president of customer experience to start my own consulting firm about 2 months ago. So our mission really is to help customers develop a customer experience. And we focus on those 4 elements. Number 1, people. Hiring the right people, making sure you have the right people on your team that don't just satisfy technical skills, but have the cultural fit for your organization. Training your employees so they know what your expectations are for the experience. And then employee engagement, keeping those employees, getting those employees to be emotionally invested in your business. Product focuses on a lot of the traditional elements of marketing. So can people find your website? Do they have a good user experience? Are you putting out thought leadership content that they want to come back and read? process? Do you have the right processes in place that allow users to have a good buying experience, but also allow your employees to execute that experience efficiently? And then feedback, are you getting the most appropriate feedback so you can not only measure your experience, but you can work to improve it? So we focus on those four areas, not all at the same time. We focus on whatever area makes the most sense to that business where their biggest gaps are. And we work towards a long-term plan to improve the experience for all of their clients.
Very cool. So how can our listeners find out more?
So you can check out my website. It's www.cx-edge.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the CX Edge.
Very cool. And we'll have those links in the show notes when that goes out as well, so that they can go ahead and connect with you from there. Very cool and important work that you are doing, because you're very right that there's so many companies that just completely don't understand the value and they don't want to invest in, you know, in having the, you know, the, everything in place to be able to grow, you know, including the marketing system. So yeah. You know, it's awesome. Once again, Cherry, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Any last words before we wrap this up?
I just want to thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun, and I don't get the opportunity to talk about stuff like this very often. So keep doing what you're doing. I think you're doing an awesome job, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for sharing your story with us today. So we are out of time, but if you found Lee After Dark more entertaining and relevant than most of the track out there, subscribe to the Lee After Dark YouTube channel, and now get Lee After Dark in your pants. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Stitcher, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and who the heck else knows where, so you can enjoy us wherever you stick your phone. Until next time, this is Lee Rowley with my new friend, Sherry Altergott. Be present and be well.
Thank you.